at the end of the day, they don't have enough blue chip talent. There's not enough top line talent on this roster to truly be one of the most feared in the NFC.
We're assuming one and done in the playoffs this year, right?
I don't know where I'm going.
In my heart of hearts, I think they're going to lose by double digits against Philly.
Kind of a sloppy game all in all. Far too many miscues.
Every single game, we got to do better. Look in the mirror, Matt LaFleur.
Jordan Love is still not right.
The message after the game was everybody was still together, not pointing fingers. You're doing that heading into the playoffs may not be the greatest sign. Never seen to
find what I'm looking for. Jordan Love from last year is gone. This guy, he still looks like a second-year player.
If the Packers can't win, I need to have an emotional investment in another team.
You know who all the pressure is on in this game? To walk it on, the
Lord is free. Showtime, baby.
It ain't the pack.
Love steps up.
Wide open, Jaden Reed. Goodbye. Touchdown, Packers. 70 yards.
Touchdown, Wicks wide open. Green Bay takes the early lead.
This isn't the plucky underdog story.
Hurts from the end zone. Intercepted. Taken away by Xavier McKinney.
Jacobs, he does not go down. Touchdown, Jacobs.
Just another example of many of Josh Jacobs making people miss.
Those curtains are coming open and the lights are going to come on and you're going to get exposed or you're going to showcase yourself.
Some new faces, a new team. Can't live on what we might have did last year against Cowboys.
Guys got to be dialed in and truly play each play as if it were your last.
Whoever wins this game Sunday is going to go to the Super Bowl.
We got to go out there and do it again.
Touchdown, Green Bay! Here I go again
on my own. Yeah, away we go. The Friday edition, the wild card weekend edition. Mr. Irrelevant, I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. Part-time Will is here. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn, is here back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. It is wild card weekend. It is the postseason. Everybody's record is 0-0. The game ain't played on paper. Because if it was, the Packers might lose by a couple touchdowns. The game is played on Sunday. And that will dictate who's moving on next weekend to the divisional round of the playoffs. Our buddy Steve Scafidi from 620 WTMJ will join us in about 10 minutes or so here in the Gruber Law Offices One Call, That's All studio. We'll talk a little Packers and Eagles. Steve, a longtime season ticket holder, joined us throughout the season on Green Bay Game Day for home games. So excited to get his perspective. Now, if you don't know Steve Scafidi, the guy's brilliant. He has an amazing background. He's formerly the mayor of Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and now has been doing radio for a long time. So I'm just fascinated by the guy. So he's going to join us in a little bit to preview Packers, Eagles. I really just want to do kind of a pulse check. I want to know where everybody's at ahead of this one, right? Because, look, I will say this. I did not pick the Packers to win. But I do think it's going to be a close game. I think the Packers will be in this game, and I think there will absolutely be opportunity to win this game. Both of these offenses can score points. Packers need to start fast if they're going to stay in this one. And if they turn over Hurts at least once, I think they're going to give themselves a really, really good shot to win. So all in all, I'm just ready for this puppy to play out, right? I'm ready for Sunday at 3:30. I'm ready for this one. Now, my confidence may not be sky high. I'm probably going to end up picking, like I said, at least as of now, Friday at 12:34, I've picked against them. That might change by Sunday at 3:30. Because you know me, Joshy, I blow with the wind, baby. My feelings change a lot. I think they can absolutely win. I right now I don't see it happening, but there are certainly scenarios that have played out in my head, which is a scary place. That this team can find a way to win on Sunday. Where are you at here? 12:35 on Friday, a couple days before Packers Eagles.
I've fully bought into the Packers winning at this
point.
I haven't heard a single soul on any of the programs we do here on ESPN Wisconsin say the Packers are going to win. And I'm not exaggerating. To my ears, to date, no one has been like, yes, I think the Packers are going to win. Even the most homers of homers that we have around here are picking against them. That changed a little bit for me, too, and helped me move this way. When I remembered last year, the Packers were 7.5-point favorite underdogs at the Cowboys, who were playing very well at home.
They were.
Now, circumstances are different. The Packers were hot at that time and were coming off wins, and the Packers are not this time. The way the public is so in favor of Philadelphia winning this game, you see the line keep moving back up towards them. I think the Packers end up winning this one, and the best reason I have why is because no one believes it's going to happen. Every single wild card weekend, there is 1.5 upsets. So that means guaranteed one. You can look across the board. You can pick the Commanders, I suppose. Other than that, I don't know where you're seeing much chance for some of those lower seeds to win.
Yeah.
And maybe that's upset. Maybe favorites win across the board. But if I'm going to pick one, I think the Packers have the best chance to pull off an upset out of all those teams. And I think the fact that no one is picking them means when the public is all one way,
here's the thing.
Always go the other.
No. So number one, you're just being a contrarian, it sounds like.
To a degree.
That's your angle today.
As a big-time gambler, you know me.
Yeah, that's true.
Fading the public is a winning strategy.
But here's the other thing. I don't think this is the best chance for an upset. I guess I haven't looked at the line of Vikings-Rams. Are the Vikings favored? Now that it's kind of a neutral site game in Arizona?
Yes, they're probably even favored even more now.
Yeah, let me double check on that.
Vikings
favorites. Okay.
Yeah. And now, is this betting upsets, like against the spread, or is this a just straight up seed upset? No, I'm saying you're 1.5.
Yes. Seed. Okay. Yes. Okay. It is. Yeah.
All right. Well, I honestly see a path this weekend where all three wild card road teams could win. That would be the Commanders over the Bucks, the Vikings over the Rams, and the Packers over the Eagles. I think there's a world in which that happens.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are, they're the better team here.
Yes, they are, but the Rams, that's the team I did not want to see this postseason.
Yeah, do you know who the running back is?
Is it not Kyron Williams?
No.
Is it Blake Corum?
No.
Then I don't know.
Ronnie Rivers.
Oh, Jesus.
Who?
That team, yeah, Blake Corum broke his arm
in
week 18.
What happened to Kyron?
He's ruled out already.
Oh,
he's injured.
Boy. Oh, boy.
So that one, I mean, the Rams live and die with Kyron Williams. Obviously, Puka is incredible.
Yep.
Cooper Kupp can show that. Going to have a real hard time, basically with no running game.
Yeah, I'm with you. You're right. I think the Vikings win that game for sure, and they are favored to win that game. Commanders, Bucks, I've said it all week. That's a game that really has my attention. I think we're going to see a lot of points in that game. You and I, Joshy, I should throw this out. Actually, a couple programming notes I want to throw out there here off the rip on Mr. Relevant on your Friday. Couple things to know. Number one, Saturday. I'm working all week. No days off for this
fella. Also known as?
What?
Tomorrow.
Also known as tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow, Saturday. I was really confused. I was like, is there another name for Saturday? The day I go to the bar most often? I wasn't sure what we were going with there. Do you know what tomorrow also is? Gottlieb versus Lundy. I found out my seats, dude. Second row for Battle of I-43 at UWM Panther Arena. I've got great seats tomorrow.
I don't know if I'd show up for that game if I was going to check in the second quarter.
That's a good line. You're proud of that one.
It's a good one. Will's laugh.
That was a good one. So programming notes. Tomorrow, Saturday morning, 10 to noon Central, special edition of the Weekly Wager live from Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It's myself and Joshy at Potto Sportsbook. Part-time Will. Will Summers is going to be producing for us. So the three of us will be with you from 10 to noon tomorrow, talking a little gambling and then talking a ton about the NFL playoffs. Coming up Sunday, beginning at noon, is Green Bay Game Day. I will be joined... Definitely be joined by Super Bowl champion Brian Bulaga and Gabe Neitzel. I think John Anderson will be there. He's in the middle of some traveling, so he's a game time decision. But definitely the three of us with you beginning at noon on Sunday ahead of Packers Eagles. And then Monday, very exciting show news. Mr. Relevant on the radio. Not so irrelevant on Monday. 12 to 2, Joshy, Hunter, myself are with you. Radio, and of course where we usually are, YouTube and your podcast feeds from 12 to 2 on Monday following Packers Eagles. You can also catch us 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison on Monday. No days off, Joshy. We're grinders, bro.
I tried to work on Sunday. They told me no, so I will get the day off Sunday to enjoy a Packers victory.
Yes.
But we're grinding out here.
We're grinding. Good for us. Good for us. A bunch of programming notes. If you want to talk more Packers-Eagles the next couple of days and obviously react to that game, we're with you a ton the next couple of days. So looking forward to that. All right, so this game is really intriguing. We've talked about it all week. There are a lot of, number one, interesting matchups, but two, matchups you worry about when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. They're a really good football team. Saquon Barkley, career year, unbelievable year, historic year out of the backfield for Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts has had a nice year, too. Hasn't turned the ball over a ton, and he's I think, more so than any other year, been a threat in the run game. He's a guy you got to figure out how to contain as well. Obviously, they've got some good receivers. A.J. Brown, questionable in this one. I would imagine he plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. And obviously, Dallas Goedert, their tight end. Devontae Smith. They've got some options, man. So this is a really, really, I don't want to say frightening matchup, but there are some things with that the Eagles do well that I'm clenching my teeth a little bit. And again, I said it earlier. This game is not won on paper. This game is not played on paper. The Packers probably have an advantage at coaching staff when it comes to Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley. If he can scheme up a really good game plan against this tough offense, they're going to give themselves a fighting chance. And if they turn over Hurts at least once, they're going to be in this football game. They turn over Hurts twice, I think that's when you get to territory of, oh boy, Packers are going to win this game. So we will see how that plays out. We will get to our buddy Steve Scafidi from WTMJ in just a moment. But before we do that, we've got to jump in the time machine. I've got a question about how airports operate. I asked it on Kyle Bruston-Nortman yesterday, and like what etiquette is when you're picking somebody up from the airport. So let's jump in the time machine. We will discuss, and Steve Scafidi will join us in just a moment. Hunter, roll the tape. No, you're not. All right, guys. So my girlfriend out of town for work the last few days. She flies in tonight. So I'm going to go pick her up from the airport. And I don't know if I'm just a romantic, if I'm just more of a gentleman than you guys, but whenever my girlfriend flies into the airport, I park my car, I go inside, and I wait outside the gate, help her grab her bags, and we go back to the car.
Wait.
So I go inside. All right, so I went inside the airport last night. I helped grab the bag. I helped bring it out to the car. Flight got delayed while it was in the air. I don't know how that works, but
landing issue, I would imagine.
I would imagine
busy runway.
It initially said 5:45, then it wasn't until about 6:30. So I was waiting in the airport a while. Had to pay $4 to park, but I went inside. Joshy, are you a romantic? Am I a romantic? What's the scenario here? If you're picking, what is it? Medusa, not Medusa.
Mussolini is the nickname I give to my girlfriend.
Yes, Mussolini. if you pay the look Steve Scafidi just gave you, if Mussolini's flying in, are you going in the airport or are you waiting outside?
Heavens no.
Okay.
And I know you're trying to make this seem like you're a romantic. I just think you're kind of a bozo, if we're to be honest here. Especially, there is no reason, especially where you live. You live downtown Milwaukee.
I do.
I don't want to give away any specifics here. But somebody landed at General Mitchell. It is a smaller airport. It is pretty quick to navigate. When you're picking somebody up, because I've lived very close to here as well, they text you when they land and then you leave. You never leave early. Flights get crazy. Stuff happens. You get caught on the tarmac. When they say we touch down is when you leave the house. You should never, ever leave before the time of landing.
Okay, so that was my mistake yesterday, but it is what it is. So I went in, I gave her a hug, gave her a smooch, we walked down to baggage claim, we grabbed the bag, we go back up to the car. It's a heavy-ass suitcase. That girl was gone for 5 days. I sort of got you a body in that bag. I mean, it was so heavy. Anyway, totally beside the point. Let's welcome in our friend Steve Scafidi from the Political Power Hour. Well, I need your opinion on this.
Yeah.
So if you're picking up your wife, who, by the way, is a saint, I think we can admit that.
She's a sweetheart. I do it frequently, actually.
So do you park the car and go inside?
Hell no. That's like young love stuff. I was thinking of the theme from Love Boat. Love so shiny and new. No, we're not doing any of that stuff.
So you're waiting out in the car.
She literally texts me off the plane. I wait. I live really close to the airport. I wait 10 minutes.
Okay.
By the time I get there, she's coming out of the doors. Boom, bing, bang, boom, loaded, gone. That's it.
Yep.
Paying nothing. No $4. Okay.
So you and I were talking a bit earlier with our friend John Merkier from WTMJ, and you were showing us old pictures. I don't know who that is.
I never heard of him.
Nobody.
Yeah, he's a nobody. But you were showing us pictures of way back when you started dating. You had a great mustache back in the day.
I rocked that mustache for 25 years.
You got to bring that back.
No, I'm not. Everything's white now.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's old age.
You'd look like a young Alex Trebek with that white mustache.
Perhaps. Maybe. I'll think about it.
You're inquisitive and wise like Alex Trebek, God rest his soul. But regardless, so back in those days, would you go into the airport?
Yeah, because the whole holding hands, you know, the kiss.
So you're thinking it's a honeymoon phase thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you'll get out of that at some point. You'll snap out of it, as they say. I don't know who said that, but you're going to snap out of that at some point. But here's the thing. I admire you for doing that now, because that suggests that this is the real deal. This is not some, you know, fly by night. I'll pick you up at the airport and then go do your business, whatever. This is like a real thing, real relationship. I love that.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate your support. I threw a poll on Twitter. I just phrased it that way, right? If you are picking somebody up from the airport, example, your significant other, do you go inside the airport or wait in the car outside of the airport? 84% of people said outside. So I am very much in the minority here, which I didn't realize until yesterday. I thought this was common practice.
You're special. That's why you're unique. That's why you do what
This is why we bring Steve on the show. You know who would never call me special is Joshy.
Well, I call you special, not for the ways you think, though.
You add another word to it?
Yeah. I don't... How often have you traveled?
Me?
Yeah. Because this seems like somebody who doesn't travel a lot thing. Because given year, I'll pick up my girlfriend. She has to travel for work like 10 to 12 times from the airport.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend $4 every time and walk my happy ass in there, especially if the landing's at like 8:30 p.m. Now, jump in the car. I'll give you a smooch when you sit down and we'll get moving.
So where do you find the love then if you're not holding hands in the airport?
Right.
Where's
the love?
When we go out to nice dinners, when we take nice walks.
You're making up for it in other areas. I get it.
Yeah. Big supper club night for Joshy, rumor has it tonight.
Final supplies.
He's had this reservation since October.
Yeah, I love supper clubs.
Are you a big supper club? Well, you're Mr. Wisconsin.
Relish, Germantown.
Well, you told me about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, good.
All you can eat, well, you pay $5, but it's all you can eat relish buffet. Are you serious?
Wait, so like pickled relish?
No, all the things you expect in the relish tray, right? The pickles and carrots and the salads and the beans and they had everything. Breadsticks, you pay $5. You can walk up and you can have a meal at the Relish.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, Relish Buffet.
Good to know.
Relish Restaurant.
Good to know. So, Steve, right before you jumped on, I was explaining your background for maybe people that aren't familiar with you.
Yes.
You were the mayor of Oak Creek.
Yeah, went to prison. No, just
spent some time in the clink.
I did.
And now I've been with WTMJ for a while.
8 years.
8 years, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I said a decade, so I overshot it.
Feels like a decade sometimes.
Well, this year, I imagine, coming out of a political year as the host of the Political Power Hour.
I'm still tired.
I imagine.
Yeah, and my brain hurts. Which is a good reaction.
Well, hopefully we could shut your brain off because you've been a season ticket holder of the Green Bay Packers since 85?
Come on, you keep saying 85. I told you on Sunday 84. It's 83.
83. That was close. I knew it was an odd number. Okay. 1983, that's 41 years.
A long time.
You saw some bad football back then.
I did.
But since Brett Favre's arrival, you've seen a lot of good football.
The best quarterback play over that period in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And probably the longest sustained quarterback play in NFL history, right, by a franchise?
It's insane.
This one feels a little bit different than last year's wild card game, right? The Packers were hot. They were going into the playoffs. Dallas was great at home field. Packers were 7.5-point underdogs, so really nobody expected them to win. It still feels like... And not a lot of people picking the Packers this week. They're playing a good Eagles team, but they're not hot. They've lost two in a row entering the postseason. Just a little pulse check. Where are you at 2 days ahead of Packers-Eagles? How are you feeling?
It does feel different because we obviously lost a couple games coming in. We certainly I'm disappointed in our coaching staff collectively and what they did on Sunday because they threw a game away, away against one of our most hated rivals. So that irritates me. Last year to this year, I have the same expectations. They're underdogs. But I expect them to play well. I didn't predict them to win last year. I'm not going to predict them to win this year. I just want a good game. Show me something that you're going to be ready, whatever happens this year, to take the next step next year, which means winning that game like we did last year and then winning the next game and maybe getting to the Super Bowl. That's what I'm looking for. But don't play this game like you played the last game.
No, because if you do that against a really good Eagles team, it's going to be 35-0 at halftime.
Because I knew we were going to talk about this. I did the homework. I watched the game in its entirety from week one.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Entertaining game, by the way.
It was.
Most people don't forget. Saquon Barkley, dominant.
Amazing.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah.
The trifecta. Jaden Reed went off in that game.
Where's he been?
Yeah. Where did he go? And that's my point, is Jaden Reed needs to have a game. And obviously, we all learned how good Josh Jacobs was because he was hard to tackle. So if we get that, maybe we got something. If we play If we go backwards, I don't feel so good.
So I'm fascinated by you watching that back.
I like to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, look at you. You did your research. You told me you watched episodes of Mr. Irrelevant ahead of your appearance as well.
I did. I watched about three or four. Yeah, yeah.
Joshy, I just want to point out, Steve Scafidi has done more homework on his appearance on this show than you and I ever have.
I don't know if that's necessarily true.
But are you saying you've done your homework? Because I don't think you do your homework for the show.
For this show, no. For other shows, certainly.
It's not ass kissing. I like to know what I'm talking
about.
No. Or what to expect, I think, is the better thing.
Yeah.
Here's the difference between me and a lot of other people.
Yeah.
I literally am not a person that ever gets nervous about anything. I just don't have that wired into me. So whether it was sports when I was younger.
Really?
I never got nervous.
Never.
I should have been a quarterback on a big time football program because I never get nervous regardless of the situation.
Probably a little bit more money.
I've spoken at the White House. I've spoken in Congress. I've done all those things. Never got nervous. It's
really?
Just not wired in me.
I was going to ask if mayoral took that out of you, but it was prior to that.
Prior to that. Always had that. Never got nervous.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not something. I feel like it's a waste of time. Nothing is going to change by me being nervous. So why not the hell just do it?
It's actually probably only going to go worse if you're nervous.
Exactly. So you start stumbling. You start rethinking everything.
Yeah.
In a sport, you're going to make mistakes. I don't want any of that. I just want to do the thing. Now, am I in a rush to do it? Yeah, I want to get it over. I've been sitting down here for 10 minutes. Let's go. Let's get the clock to 12:40 so I can jump in here. That's how I look at life.
I love it. I love it. So back to week one, though. So watching that back, I don't know how much you can take from that, right? Because I view kind of week one of the NFL season these days, especially for those two teams. It was almost preseason game number four.
Absolutely.
Right? Because everybody's knocking off the rust. Everybody's kind of getting used to their football legs here in week one. I mean, obviously, Saquon is still very good. Nothing has changed there. But what other takeaways did you have watching that back? I'm curious if you watching that go, okay, that's something I can keep an eye on Sunday.
I wasn't aware of it. At least maybe I didn't pay attention. I think I was traveling by plane. You're talking about airports before, from Vegas when that game was being played. Mm-hmm. So I only caught the end of it. I didn't realize they spent some time talking about Jalen Hurts and his physical conditioning. I was sort of aware of it, but the dude can squat like, I don't know, 540
pounds.
Yeah,
he's jacked.
So that ability to move through the line or to move around and escape tackles and all that stuff is part of the reason he's so good. Now, the question for me from game one to now is how healthy is he and how much rust is he going to have? Well, if you call that a preseason game, well, if you haven't played for 4 weeks, that's the same duration as preseason.
Good point.
Much. So what are we going to see? Running backs, Jacobs, Barkley, week one, week 16, they hand you the ball, you run as far as you can. How much thought goes into that? How much training do you do? They're already in good shape.
Yeah.
We know what they do in the offseason. So that I'm not confused about. Jordan Love, looking at week one, made some mistakes. Almost got a pick six that got dropped. But he also had some tremendous throws, moved around well until he got injured. I'm fairly confident. I think you guys were talking about this recently. Maybe it was Wildy. Are we worried about Jordan Love going forward? Or is he not the guy? He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's in year two. He played how many? Three less games. Right?
Yep.
He won as many games when he was a starter as they won all season last year. So that shows progress. His numbers, not bad. He kept the interceptions down at the end of the season, which he did last year.
Yeah, post-bye, he did a really nice job. Just the one against Chicago.
And I would actually make the argument, having watched game one now and seen the rest of the season, that they've sort of put, I don't know, it was handcuffs on Jordan Love, but they've sort of restrictor flowed his ability to do things in games. And somebody said on the morning show on ESPN, let's just play the game.
Yeah.
Do what you can do. He's a great talent. I watched all the primetime games they had. What did we hear from those commentators? Did you see that throw by Jordan Love? Bad quarterbacks, average quarterbacks don't make those throws. And there were some that were, they were Rodgers-esque. I said this to you a couple years ago. Rodgers-esque. If he could do that in year two, what's year three, four, five going to look like?
Hopefully Lombardi trophies.
I hope so.
Yeah. So are you operating under the idea that this team's probably a year away from Super Bowl?
I always have. I said it was a 2-3 year process. Now, they need a stud guy to rush the quarterback. That's all he does. He goes after the quarterback, tries to tackle him and sack him. They need that. They need a cornerback because I don't think Jair is going to be.
He won't be back. Yeah.
So there's a few things you need, but the core elements of this team, the core squad you have right now, is going to be here next year. Including who I think is a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 5 quarterback in the NFL in the future, Jordan Love. That's a good indication we're in a good place. Look, all I heard all offseason, you and I have talked about this, Caleb Williams, King of the North. What'd he do? He had an average season for a young quarterback. He didn't inspire anything. They sucked.
Yeah.
And that's why it pissed me off so much they lost that last game, because they should have sucked one more time in a long season with, what, an 11-game losing streak.
I mentioned this stat earlier in the week, and Joshy accused me of being a Bears fan. But Caleb Williams is 1-0 at Lambeau Field. That hurts. I don't like that.
That hurts my heart.
I know.
It hurts my heart.
Isn't that brutal? Are you worried about Christian Watson-less offense? I mean, you mentioned Reed and how great of a game he played in week one.
But he's not Christian Watson.
He's been a little non-existent the last few weeks. And don't get me wrong, I'm probably number one fan or president of the Jaden Reed fan club. But second half of the season has been really underwhelming for him, as we thought maybe he would be the guy that develops into that true number one for them. It's a great opportunity for him Sunday, but I'm a little bit worried without that deep threat what this offense can do in the passing game.
I knew you were going to ask me that question, so I prepared an answer.
Here we go. Answer from Mayor Steve Scafidi. Here we go.
As we've seen the rise of Josh Jacobs, incredible talent, top three, top four running back in the NFL, just so strong, such a great aggressive runner, love to see his long runs. As the Packers have sort of morphed their offense to understand that reality, that we have this dude that can be as good as anybody, I think it's actually impacted their offense to a degree where they don't cut it loose as much, because, well, we'll just hand it off to Josh Jacobs. He'll take care of business on third and four.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the past, third and four, let's go 30 yards down the field to Christian Watson. So it's actually, I think, impacted our offense in a bad way. But bottom line is, week one, first week of the playoff, these teams, I think, are fairly evenly matched, with this exception. Philly is a great, great defense.
Mm-hmm.
They
best
are the
in the
best,
league.
Best in the league. Can the Packers overcome? But what did we hear all last year before the playoffs? How good Dallas was. Undefeated at home.
Yeah.
I watched the game. You watched the game. Total domination. I think it's possible. If you ask me to put a percentage on it, there's like 20% chance we would see a replay of that. If you ask me what the chances of the Packers winning the game, I would say probably 35-40%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think ESPN's analytics is like 48.
Yeah.
48-52. It
seems high to me.
Incredibly thin margin of error in that one. I would agree that. I think it's a little high. Look, this Philly team is way better than that Dallas team last year.
Yes.
I mean, this is a Super Bowl level team that the Packers are playing on Sunday. They get the win. That's quite the feather in the cap as you get ready to go to Detroit. And that's a team that I don't think you're going to lose 2-3 times. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. When you mention, you know, the Packers' shortcomings, somebody that can really get after the quarterback. Obviously, the pass rush has been probably the number one gripe for Packers fans this year, despite Rashawn Gary's Pro Bowl selection, which I don't know if that one was earned, but that's neither here nor there. Hurts is mobile. He's running the ball 150 times this year, right? And obviously, with Saquon in that backfield, they've been good against the run, but when you have a two-headed monster with Hurts and Saquon, that's where I go, ooh, I am worried about what that looks like Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think the Eagles are really anxious to have Jalen Hurts put himself out there running just wildly. Now, he may run on occasion, but he's coming out of concussion protocol.
Right.
That generally means for people like, the quarterbacks, the other quarterbacks in League 2 and all those guys, the folks that have concussions issues, you're going to be a little restrictive.
Yeah.
Now, if they go, oh, let's just go all out. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think they want to rely on Saquon Barkley.
I think that's a really good point.
And seeing game one, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't either. That man, I mean, he's going to get some MVP votes. He had an unbelievable year for Philly, and he should be their offense. And similarly to the Packers, right? To your point earlier on Jacobs, they've used him to open things up in the passing game later, right? Run Jacobs wild early first quarter, second quarter, and then all of a sudden, okay, then we'll start opening things up in the passing game. Eagles have the same recipe for success. Use Saquon, and then you open things up for Hurts and some of those great pass catchers. And it's just a matter of who's going to execute that game plan better offensively that's going to win this game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, ask me, you know, what I'm worried about. I'm worried about a 4th-and-26. I can remember where I was. I was at my brother-in-law's Jeff's house. I got up on my chair and said, are you effing kidding me? 4th-and-26. Sort of reminded me of what we saw last week when the Packers Halfley decided to
what open. What was that?
Well, he said miscommunication.
I don't think that's miscommunication. No, I think that's just a bad game plan.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, the frustrating part is we've seen the improvement on defense as far as how they're ranked. And we've seen them score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. They're still one of the higher scoring teams. They got a good point differential. Not the best, but good. And when you see a play like that going into the playoffs, it does give you pause and say, all right, so what happened here? Punt return, that defensive play call, and who I think is a great coach, Matt LaFleur's inability to manage the time at the end. That's concerning because that's all three phases, and you essentially wet the bed. not a game you had to win, but a game that you should win, and if you're a Packers fan, must win,
yep.
going into the playoffs. That's the only concern, is that sort of what happened here mindset. What the hell happened? As my friend Vince Lombardi used to say. Not my friend, but...
Yeah, your friend.
What the hell's going on out here?
You dress up like him for home games at Green Bay with that pea coat. Yes, you look just like him.
Yeah.
That means
I'm old.
Two brilliant minds, you and Vince Lombardi.
Oh, you're so kind. Would you pick me up at the airport and walk in and hold my hand?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I would have held your hand.
You're not going to hold my
hand. But I might push your bag for you.
Really?
Depends how bad your back's feeling that day.
It feels good.
Okay, then you got it.
I'm ready to punch something. I want this game to happen.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. We're still two sleeps away, but I'm ready to run through a brick wall. So LaFleur, you mentioned, and I'm with you. He has rightfully so caught a lot of blame this week, right? He mismanaged the game clock. He lost in that game. I think it's as simple, simply put as that on Sunday against the Bears. But I still trust him in moments like this because I think, you know, the reason they hired him is because of the ingenuity, the creativity offensively. He's a great offensive mind. In that game last year against Dallas, we saw that on display.
Yeah.
If he can cook up a really good game plan offensively this week, it's up to Jeff Hafley, and that's a massive improvement from your D coordinator a year ago. So I trust our coaching staff in this one. That's actually not where my concern lies at all in this game.
Somebody was tossing us around on ESPN. He was either this morning or yesterday when I was listening to Tausch and Wilde. The approach from the kickoff, do you take the ball?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either, because they haven't had good luck with that.
No,
recently.
They have not.
But that's sort of been his thing this year, right?
It has been, yeah.
Let's go out there and show something.
But they haven't been able to do it, especially as of late.
No, they had a stretch in the middle where they were getting it done,
yeah,
which is probably why I continued
that Seattle game, that New Orleans game, they didn't score touchdowns on each of those drives. But Minnesota and Chicago hasn't worked out.
So with that start, what kind of an offense would you design for this game against Philly? What would it look like?
Ground and pound. I mean, you've got to win probably the time of possession
battle.
When
that's not working, though.
You know, then you got to trust your $55 million man.
Here's what I would suggest, and I have no idea that they're going to listen to me, because who am I, especially on sports. But we have two tight ends now.
Mm-hmm.
Really good tight ends.
For sure.
There's this whole middle of the field area, like 5 to 20 yards, that we sort of avoided recently, crossing patterns. Go back to the 2010. Jennings,
mm-hmm.
Jordy Nelson. We killed on that play. It seems to have gone away from our offensive lineup. Let's bring that back. And then when that's shut down, then you go sidelines. You go deep. And maybe Melton or maybe Jaden Reed can open up something like he did in the first game.
Yeah, I love it. I give Matt LaFleur a phone call, would you?
I will do that.
Yes, please.
Someone send me his number.
Yes. we can find it for
maybe
you.
Maybe I'll text him.
We can dig that up. I think they're going to be in it. I don't know who's going to win. I just don't see a blowout happening, which is good. It works the Packers' favor.
Eagles blowing out the Packers. I don't see it either. I mean, obviously anything can happen.
Right.
You have a couple of drop passes and a fumble or two. You're going to get blown out, especially on the road. Philly's a tough place to play.
We've
seen it before.
Have you been there?
No.
Okay.
Well, I've been to Philly many times, but I've never been to a game there. But, you know, we can remember what happened all those years ago. What is it, 14 years, 15 years ago?
14, yeah.
Yeah, where they weren't supposed to win that game.
No, they were not.
And they went into Philly, and they took care of business, and then they did it. Two more times to get the Super Bowl, and I was at the Super Bowl in Dallas, and they showed why they were the best team, even though they didn't have the best record. It's not about record in the playoffs.
No, everybody's a 0-0 now.
It's right. A cliche. Show up, make no mistakes, play well. You got a good shot at winning the game. That's what I'm expecting.
Can't turn over the ball.
No, and they've actually been sloppy in that area recently.
Fumbles,
Jacobs included.
Yeah,
I mean,
fumbles.
He's solid for so long. Fumbles. I don't want to see that.
No, you can't turn the ball over against a team like Philly. I mean, speaking of cliches, you got to be playing your best football in January. No bleep. But
we could probably go an hour just throwing out cliches.
Yeah, we could.
Sports.
And
left it all on the field.
They got to leave it all on the field, Steve. They have to on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't turn over the ball, and if they need to create turnovers, and that's something this defense has been much improved at.
Hey, we got an all pro.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney earlier today named first team all pro by the Associated Press. Not surprising.
Did I hear Buffalo had none?
That would be right. Yeah, I think so.
Does that seem? I guess it's hard to be the one guy, but
well, Josh Allen, who's probably going to win the MVP award,
you think over Lamar?
Yeah. I think he will. I don't think he should. I would vote if I had a vote. Which
I would vote for Lamar too.
I would vote for Lamar. Probably
that makes sense.
Saquon Barkley might get my vote too.
Yeah,
we're probably never going to see a running back win again in the MVP award.
It's a quarterback award, no.
But if anybody's going to, I mean, Saquon made a heck of a case.
I love Josh Allen, and I love the Buffalo Bills, not because I'm losing interest in the Green Bay Packers.
They're kind of the Packers of the AFC
absolutely.
In a way, right?
And I have friends who are like me, only Buffalo Bills fans. They grew up in Buffalo. They follow them. They travel. They always travel and go to the places where the people are watching the game. This would be good for their psyche because I remember what happened. You were how old in when they lost four in a row?
Either unborn or barely alive.
Yeah.
To make you feel old.
It was absolutely brutal for Buffalo Bills. I can't even imagine what that'd be like. And maybe the Vikings fans can tell us because they didn't do it consecutively. But they lost four Super Bowls.
They lost four, yeah.
Which I never hesitate to point out to my friends who are Vikings fans.
Well, you bring up both those teams. Those are two really good teams that are going to have a real shot at a Super Bowl this year. There's like five teams in the playoffs looking for the first one this year.
Who do you worry most about in our conference?
It's
obviously this game matters, but
yeah, Philly's right at the top of the
list. Are they the best team?
No, Detroit probably still is, despite all the injuries. I mean, seeing what they did to Minnesota on Sunday night is unbelievable.
And
I mean,
we played Detroit twice and lost twice. Doesn't mean they can beat us three times, but they've dominated in those games.
Hard to beat a team three times, but you're right. To go to Detroit and win, which they would have to do if they do beat Philadelphia on Sunday, they worry me. But Philly's probably second and Minnesota third. I think those are the best three teams in the NFC.
Yeah, Minnesota's is an interesting period because obviously they didn't like what happened against the Lions in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I know their history, and their fans certainly know their history. They've had a series of disappointing playoff results. I don't want to make a prediction, but I have a feeling that's coming again for them, game one. I don't think they're going to do it, and I think it's going to make some people mad, and whether that changes the team, I have no idea. First round knockouts when you're a high seed, and they're, obviously the seeding is different this year because we have teams with great records. You lose a game right out of the gate, that messes with your team's psyche and
long term, right?
Big time.
You're totally right.
Yeah,
you're totally right.
Now they're talking about trading their hotshot young quarterback.
Yeah.
For Sam Darnold. What if Sam Darnold sucks next year after you just spent $50 or $60 million on him? Yeah. Then you're in that same position again.
Yeah, and they might be. I mean, Darnold's been terrific. That's another guy who could get MVP votes. It's a good MVP race this year. All right. Final thoughts from Steve Scafidi ahead of Packers Eagles. You said you're not going to pick them, but you're going to pick them to be in it.
Oh, absolutely. I expect a competitive game. I expect all of those coaches I just referred to, Halfley and certainly Bisaccia and LaFleur, to redeem themselves in a big way. I expect an exciting offense, not a sort of a workman-like offense, which is what we've been getting lately. I expect them to take some chances. The key to this game is us not turning the ball over. If we don't do that, and we did it in week one, which cost us the game, I think, we can win this game. None of these games, no playoff game is easy to win.
No, it is not.
I don't care who you are, one or seven. They're all hard to win. I like their chances. I will not be disappointed if they lose, if they play well. If they play like they did last week, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of conversations to be had. And I don't think we'll have the Matt LaFleur conversation quite yet.
No.
Because he's won way too many games to even have that conversation.
That's crazy talk.
Agreed with you.
Yeah, that's
I mean, don't go on Twitter. That's all I would ask of you.
I got off Twitter for that reason, because it's crazy talk.
Did you?
My reason was politics, but sports is no better.
No, especially this time of year, if the Packers are to lose, let's say, hypothetically, knock on wood, right? 31-14. Oh, boy.
Everybody's got opinions about this stuff, sports or politics. Most of them are wrong, but they have the right to express them, which we encourage.
Yeah, what do they say? Opinions are like rear ends. Some are stinkier than others.
I thought you were going to say we all have them.
We all have them, but some are stinkier than others.
Some are bigger than others.
Yeah.
And smaller.
There you go. Well, I hope you're comfy in that seat. We'll have you back Sunday for Green Bay Game Day.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to be here. I might show up early. I won't intervene in anyone else's time, but I'll be here.
You're more than welcome to show up whenever you'd like.
Little secret about me, I never show up late for anything, and I haven't for decades.
When's the last time you were late?
Decades ago. I always show up at least 15 minutes early. I'm Lombardi.
You're on Lombardi time.
Yeah, again, I live it.
Josh, do you buy that from Scafidi? He's never shown up late to anything.
I've never known Steve Scafidi to be a liar.
Well, here, Josh, he knows.
Honest Abe.
My show's at 9.
Yeah.
What time do I come in? I come in like right when
6 a.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kicking down the door.
That's 3 hours early. Been. That's not Lombardi time. That's Scafidi time.
That's Scafidi time.
How far does the not late engagement, if it's a gathering of friends, we're getting together, X, Y, and Z is having people over, we want you there at 6.
I get there at 6 or before 6. Yeah.
Oh, doesn't matter. I don't know if I like that, Steve.
There's a conflict here because my wife, Kathy, doesn't like that.
Yeah.
I like
either.
To be the first guy there. I want to meet the host. I want to talk to them before it's polluted by everybody
else. That makes sense, though. That's very Scafidi code, right?
I want to spread my love before it's infected by everybody
else. Mussolini is a big get there early or right when we're supposed to. We can be late.
Does she endorse that nickname?
Well, she didn't want her real name used, and this all started because...
Might have picked something other than Mussolini, and I'm Italian.
One time, I said, do I get any say in this decision around the house? To which she said, no, this is a dictatorship. So then I said, well that Mussolini. Makes sense.
He worked it out. Yeah. I see the math. I see your homework. I get it.
Yeah, and even though she makes fun of or says she doesn't like it, she gets a kick out of it.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's a tough nickname, though.
I don't think I could pull it off. My wife hates nicknames. I try to give her a couple.
What about like an endearing nickname?
She doesn't like
sweetie.
Babe. Don't call me babe.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever?
Ever.
Does she call you anything? Do you get babe? Do you get sweetie? Do you get sweetheart?
No, I get nothing. None of them.
You're just Steve.
I've been with Kathy for so long.
How long has it been?
We've been married 39 plus years, and probably I've known her since high school. We didn't date in high school. I dated all her friends, but which is another story.
Oh, we got time.
Yeah. You want to talk about awkward. So I dated most of her friends in high school. And when we started dating, we would go to parties with these people.
Sure.
And now these women, girls, had their own. So it was always weird for me because I knew these women, sometimes intimately. So it was very awkward for me.
Sometimes intimately.
And that's very honest.
Very honest. Yeah. So these were short-term relationships, I imagine?
Oh, yes.
Like high school flings.
Okay. I knew Kathy was going to be my wife when I started dating her. And I didn't date her in high school or early college.
Okay.
I knew that.
Okay, wow. So these friends of Kathy's,
yeah.
Do we see them anymore?
Not much, no.
Okay.
No. I have run into them on
So even
occasion.
39 years later, it's still awkward.
Yeah, because their husbands or partners or whatever, they always give me looks.
So they know.
Yeah. I think deep down they know. And that's unsettling for some people.
Especially if it's you.
You saw the mustache.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
This guy was a catchback in his day.
Come on.
He still is.
I could get it done.
Steve Scafidi, the legend. You can hear him 9 to 10 a.m. each and every weekday on the Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ. And you can hear him with us, Green Bay Game Day, before every Packers game. Beginning at noon this Sunday, Steve Scafidi joins us. What time do we decide? 2 o'clock?
Somewhere around.
Somewhere
thanks for having
o'clock.
Me on. I always love
of course.
The conversation.
This is long overdue. We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
You're the best. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
He's the best. Steve Scafidi joining us here on Mr. Irrelevant, the mayor, as I call him, the former mayor of Oak Creek. Longtime season ticket holder. I will never get it wrong again. 1983, he's had season ticket since up in Green Bay. Joshy, have you ever dated? Oh, hold on.
Next time, I'm going to test you on this.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you, I graduated from high school in 1976. 1976, remember that. I'll test you on it.
Okay, 1976. That was 22 years before I was born.
And I wasn't slow in college. I took a couple years off, then went to college.
Okay, got it.
Which I highly recommend.
I'm going to write the Steve Scafidi biography, I think. Joshy, have you ever dated somebody after dating the friends?
Yes.
Me too. Always awkward.
Yeah, I think that happens in smaller communities.
So like high school relationships.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the most frequent.
Yeah, okay. I love Steve's honesty on that. That was lovely. The awkwardness of those social situations is amazing. Unbelievable stuff from Steve Scafidi. All right, final thoughts out of Packers-Eagles coming up Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Also, we need to make an adjustment to something Joshy said earlier. Kyren Williams is not out for the Rams. Bad information.
Really?
Yeah. Bad. That was last week. They arrested him last week.
Huh. I got a push notification for that.
Hunter, thoughts? Am I wrong now?
I mean, I looked it up. I couldn't see anything saying he was out. I just saw articles from last week saying that they arrested him for week 18. So I think Joshy was wrong.
Yeah, KTLA Channel 5 will extended arrest payoff for Rams star Kyren Williams.
Oh.
He's back.
Yeah.
We're good. Wrong push notification. You know, although I have gotten wrong push notifications many times.
Yeah. It was a list of different names.
Okay.
So it might have been a name got included that shouldn't have been there by whoever on the app, because it was these players, which there were other players that are actually going to be inactive throughout the week that are on there. I believe Zay Flowers was also a part of that. It was like four or five names that were listed as inactive.
Okay. Got it. But just to clean up, Kyren Williams playing, which gives the Rams a shot. Better shot than maybe
way
without
better.
That. All right, let's run through the playoff slate. Then we'll get to some final thoughts on Packers-Eagles. And then we will get to what we learned, as we always do, to wrap up the show. Let's start with tomorrow, 3:30. It's Chargers-Texans, locally, 3:30. Now, I saw a graphic. Every time the Texans have ever played a wild card game in their franchise's history, it has been the 3:30 Central Saturday time slot. Isn't that unbelievable, Hunter? I figured you'd get a kick out of that little fun fact.
I feel like at this point now, it's just going to become their thing. It's like how the Cowboys always play on Thanksgiving. Texans are in, they get the Saturday afternoon. Just make it a tradition.
Yeah, I think we should make it tradition.
I told you this.
Yes.
I remember, I have a friend who is a listener to all the programs here, who now has three children, and the first time I can remember the Texans playing on Wild Card Weekend, he had zero children.
2011, by the way. Yeah,
I was at his house watching, and it was a Deshaun Watson game. He was the quarterback.
Oh, then it was later than that.
I believe it was a comeback win, but it's been...
2018, probably?
Yeah, it's been many, many years of this happening.
Yeah, it's every year, 3:30, so it dates back all the way to 2011.
Yeah.
And the other weird thing about the Texans is they've only done it in back-to-back years. So 11, 12, and then I think it was 17, 18, and then... Or no, I think it was 16, 17, and then 19, 20, and then now 23 and 24. Back-to-back years, Wild Card Weekend, 3:30 game. It is Chargers-Texans tomorrow, that game on CBS and Paramount. Plus, your line on that game is the Chargers on the road are favored by 3 points. Joshy, who do you like in this one?
I like the Chargers. I think the Texans are dead.
I think so, too. I think they're donezo as well. I will take the Chargers as well. Hunter, are you making that unanimous?
Yeah, it's the Chargers.
David chimes in on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat. He says, it's the Houston Texans playoff invitational, 3:30 p.m. Saturday every year, Shroff. I love that. Tomorrow's nightcap, probably going to be a blowout. It is Steelers-Ravens in Baltimore. 7 o'clock on Amazon Prime, Prime Video. This is the biggest spread of the weekend. Ravens are favored by 9.5. I don't know if they cover, but they're certainly going to win.
Yeah, I think they're going to win, too, and I think it's going to be pretty easily. I've been looking at the total in this game, and I think the Ravens have the potential to do most of that work all by themselves.
Look, and Zay Flowers, if I'm not mistaken, is out of this game.
Correct.
But regardless, I don't think it matters. They're that good.
No.
I mean, when you have a 1-2 punch, right, we're preparing for Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. They're the number 2 1-2 punch in the league in terms of quarterback running back duo. Which is crazy, because Saquon had an unbelievable season. Jalen Hurts had a really good year when he's been healthy. Baltimore is unbelievable. Lamar put up astronomical numbers, way better numbers than his MVP season last year. 41 touchdowns through the air for him, and a couple on the ground as well, obviously. Nice year on the ground. And Derrick Henry, unbelievable ad for them in Baltimore. They're 9.5-point favorites. I actually think I will take them to cover. I think they win by at least 10. In that one. And Hunter, I assume we're going to unanimous as well. Ravens win?
Ravens win, but 2-4 in the playoffs for Lamar. Ooh. I think he struggles more than we expect. And it's a closer game than we expect. Like, I think it's a single digit win for the Ravens.
Yeah, in his career, he's about a 57.5% completion percentage in the postseason versus 65% in the regular season. So he does dip in the big moments, but he got to the AFC Championship game last year. Did Lamar Jackson looking to make it back there here for a second year in a row? And that all starts tomorrow night against his division rival, Pittsburgh Steelers. The first game on Sunday is Denver at Buffalo, the second biggest line of the weekend. The Bills are favored by 9. I like them to win. But I think Denver's going to keep this one close. Good defense. Patrick Surtain is unbelievable. Bo Nix has had a terrific rookie year. Probably going to win the rookie of the year, Joshy. I haven't looked at the odds on that. Jaden Daniels, obviously, in the conversation as well.
I think it's Daniels. I think Daniels is up to favor right now.
Okay. But Bo Nix, I imagine, the runner-up then, because he's had a really, really nice year for Sean Payton and company out in Denver. They finished 10-7, get the final seed in the playoffs. They'll head to Buffalo tomorrow. It's a 9-point spread. Joshy, where are you thinking? Buffalo?
I like Buffalo to win. I do not like them to cover the number.
I'm with you.
That offense has figured it out there for Denver. Marvin Mims has become a guy that matters in the NFL. Which
is crazy to say out loud, right? Yes. In January?
Yes.
Nonetheless?
I think that'll be a good game, and I would have loved to pick an upset for Denver, but I don't think this is the right matchup for them.
I don't either. I think if they draw, if they drew Houston, agreed. If they drew... who's the other home team this weekend? Baltimore? I don't know. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, that one you're just hoping.
Well, here's the thing, and I think we would all kind of agree with this as it stands, at least right now. And obviously Monday we might be viewing this differently depending on the outcomes of this weekend. But it's kind of a 3-horse race in each conference in my mind, right? In the NFC, as I mentioned earlier, it's obviously Detroit, it's Minnesota, and it's Philadelphia. In the AFC, I think it's Baltimore. Excuse me, it's Buffalo, and of course it's Kansas City looking for their third straight Super Bowl. I think we're down to 6 teams. That's the way I view it, but hey, anything can happen this weekend, maybe.
maybe the Packers win, maybe the Steelers win, maybe the Broncos win. And all of a sudden we're going, whoa, this looks a little bit different than we anticipated. Sunday night game is my favorite outside of the Packers-Eagles. And hopefully I'm not sad watching this one. It is Commanders-Buccaneers on NBC Sunday night. This one is really fun to me. I think these are two of the friskiest offenses in the NFL. Baker Mayfield has had an unbelievable year for Tampa Bay without Mike Evans for a lot of the season, and he still got to 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns, did Mike Evans. But Mayfield, 4,500 yards on the dot, 41 touchdown passes, the 16 interceptions. So he turns the ball over. But how about rookie Bucky Irving? Right? I mean, the way he's come in and taken that running back job over 1,000 yards for him on the season. On the other side, the rookie of the year favorite, Jaden Daniels, 25 touchdowns through the air this season for Washington. They go into Tampa as 3-point underdogs. It's Commanders, Buccaneers. That is the nightcap Sunday night. I think this game probably going to be the most competitive of the weekend, except Packers, Eagles. I think this has the potential to be the best game. Who do you like in this one, Joshy?
There's some gambling tips here. Typically, the trends are in a game that's perspective or prescribed to be a shootout, you usually want the home team and the team with more experience. If this game does get into a shootout, I think it plays way better into the hands of the Buccaneers.
Agreed.
I think the Buccaneers kind of deflate the balloon on the Commies. I think they're a good story, but I think they've shown a lot of holes at various points this year that... Like their run game is Jaden Daniels. If Jaden Daniels can't run the way he wants to, it's going to be a very long day for them.
What I love and what got me to cough there is
Commies.
We're what, 3 years into the Commanders era, or 2 years into it?
I'm never going to call them the Commanders.
Why the Commies?
The Commies.
So is this just bad marketing on their part?
Yes.
By choosing Commanders as
the
name?
They opened the door for me. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, that's how you operate, bro. I get it. And I don't blame you one bit. You like the Commies, or excuse me, you like the Buccaneers here. I also like the Buccaneers here. Hunter, where are you at? You're an NFC East expert. You like the Commies?
Unfortunately, there's something about that team when you watch them play that you're just like, they shouldn't be doing it. It's almost like the Chiefs, but not to the same like level. You're just like, they shouldn't be doing this, but they are, and they figured out ways to win some games that they maybe wouldn't have won in the past, and I just feel like this is going to be one of those games. They're just going to figure out a way to win this game and surprise people. And like, I think it's going to be one of those where then people are like, maybe Dan Quinn should be coach of the year. Like, taking them from what they were to then into the divisional round of the playoffs, like, that's where I think that this is interesting. Also, get-in price for this game, according to Vivid Seats, $72. Like, if I'm living in the Tampa area, I would go to that game.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Also, Ben Johnson, big mistake not going there and leaving that meeting or not going to that meeting.
I don't know what you're referring to.
He was supposed to interview with the Commies.
Oh, last year?
And I believe he was on a plane and had it turn around.
Oh, wow.
It was that in depth.
Hey, well, Dan Quinn's done a nice job.
He has, but...
And Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, he's going to get interviews this offseason because of what he's been able to do with that offense. So we will see. All right, that's the first game we've agreed or disagreed on, is Hunter will take the Commies, me and Josh on the Buccaneers. We'll talk more about this game on Monday's edition of Mr. Irrelevant, I would imagine. I mean, we'll be doing a lot of recap on Packers-Eagles, but we'll pick it here anyway. It's Vikings at Rams, although it is in Arizona, so it is technically not a true road game for Minnesota. The Vikings are 3-point favorites in this one. Joshy, I assume you like the Vikings.
I do like the Vikings. I don't know how good the Rams are.
I don't either. Now, would you be surprised if they won this game? I don't know that you would be.
I think I would be, because I think the Vikings have the Vikings and the Ravens have similar Super Bowl odds, like to win it. And I think they're kind of being a little under the radar there in terms of who can actually win the Super Bowl. I think people should think more highly of them than they do right now, just based on those numbers.
Okay. So you like the Vikings, and you like the Vikings big. Like I mentioned, they're 3-point favorites. I imagine you think they're going to cover.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Hunter?
On the Dam Sports Show with Corey and Wally up on ESPN Beaver Dam,
they asked me
who my dark horse was in the playoffs.
Hold on. You're still making appearances on that show?
Yeah. I'm a big deal in Beaver Dam.
That was just a high school football thing. I didn't realize this was still an every week thing for you. Every Tuesday? Yeah.
Every Thursday.
Sorry, continue. Thursday now.
I picked the Rams as my dark horse team that, like, if there was somebody that's going to surprise us and make a run to the Super Bowl, I think it's the Rams with the experience that that team has, and they know what the playoffs are like. They know how to get there. I could see the Rams really surprising people here too. Like, I think we might get a couple of upsets here in the NFC.
Ooh. Okay. I like it. I'm really split on this one. I think the Vikings probably win. I think they're the better team. I remember a couple of years ago when we were calling them the worst 13-win team in NFL history. This 14-win team is not that, right? This is a really good football team. Really well coached. Kevin O'Connell going to win coach of the year, we would assume. Sam Darnold, I don't think he's eligible for comeback player of the year anymore. I think that is now
he has been cleared to be voted for.
So he can win it.
Yes.
And he will win it, then, I would assume. Who else would? I guess I don't know who else is eligible. Aaron Rodgers is, but he's not going to win it.
No, I don't know. Who knows what the AP decides to vote? They did say he could win it, but they also gave them new rules on who can be that person. So I don't know.
After Joe Flacco beat DeMar Hamlin last year.
All time bad.
You think?
He died! He was dead! He's playing football again!
So, anyways, to get this back on track, looking at the...
Hold on, just real quick. He's right. He's got a point.
I know.
He's got a point. Go ahead, Hunter.
I know. I was just looking at comeback player of the year odds. It's looking like kind of Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold, J.K. Dobbins is a distant third. So Darnold or Burrow would be the two there. So,
yeah,
probably Darnold then, just because he got his team into the playoffs, if I had to guess.
I would guess. I would guess you were probably right on that. So that is the NFL playoff slate this weekend. Aside from Packers-Eagles, which we pick now, the Eagles are 3.5-point favorites. We know Joshy is taking the Packers on the money line. Josh, you want to give us a score? You want to give us a thought?
I believe I predicted 18-16 in the email.
Low scoring.
Yes, I think that's the Packers' path to victory. Muck it up. Keep Saquon down. Edgerrin Cooper has an extremely good game. I don't expect the Packers' offense to come out and be, you know, lights out by any means. When have we really seen that? But I do think there is a rust factor for Jalen Hurts that plays in here. A.J. Brown's got a quad injury. He's also the type of player you can just take out of a game, get in his head. He's multiple times this season, he's been mad when his team won, but he didn't get enough passes. I think the Eagles are close to crumbling, and I think if the Packers get a lead and kind of frustrate them, I think things could spiral out of control for the Eagles, and they have a really hard time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I struggle with this one, man. I think the Eagles probably win.
Also, isn't this 5 points right now?
Is it up to five? I haven't looked. Last I looked, it was 4.5 or 3.5.
5.5, Philly.
Oh, wow. It's moved again.
Yeah, yes. And that's why I'm more and more on the Packers side.
I love it. I love it. We're going to be a Potter tomorrow, baby. Sprinkle a little dough on that.
I just am spinning up some touchdown parlays here.
Oh, boy. Hit us.
I don't want to list it because it's got 12 guys picked.
Okay, never mind.
Team.
Yeah, we're not going
to
do that.
We could bet $10 to win like $100,000.
Okay, but hold on. You do realize. Wait, 10 to win
$100,000? Yeah.
I mean, I'm good with like $10,000. I'm good betting $1 to win $10,000.
Yeah,
that's fine by me, man. And then, of course, if it hits, then we go, "Oh my god, I should have put $10 on
what
it."
What if I would have just put $10 on this?
What if I would have put $50 on it? I would have won half a milli. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So you do think every team in the postseason will score a touchdown?
I think there's two teams that you got to watch out for. Those are the Texans and the Steelers. I think both those teams are very... I mean, Mike Tomlin loves a field goal.
Is Marvin Mims of the Denver Broncos on this touchdown parlay?
I did not put him in this one. I put Cortland Sutton in that
one. Okay, gotcha.
But let me tell you, I've made some already bets. Bye. Mims isn't a lot of them.
Okay, noted. Hunter, Packers, Eagles. Who you got?
I went 21-17 Eagles. I think the talent gap that the Eagles have from their wide receivers to Green Bay's defensive backs is just so great that if you're going to go all out to stop the run, that's going to be a long day on the outside. And I understand that the narrative on Jalen Hurts is he can't read defenses. I think the Eagles offense is good enough with Kellen Moore as their OC that he's going to turn this into college level reads, where it is literally a, okay, you've got a receiver in the flat, one going over the top, read the corner. If he comes up, throw it deep. If he sits back, then throw it underneath. And it turns into a long day for the secondary. Still not a lot of points, though, because like I like the Packers' defense in the red zone to maybe slow him down and get some stops. Xavier maybe to get a turnover. But still, I just don't know how they're going to stop this offense. And that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. Now, I have belief in Jeff Hafley. I have belief in Matt LaFleur. I don't want to make it seem like I give the Packers zero chance. I'm going to take the Eagles 31-28. I think it's close. I think it's a shootout. I think it's a high-scoring game. I think Saquon Barkley ultimately will just prevail. I just think he's had such a great season, and that continues here in the wild card round. But I am absolutely not ruling out the possibility that the Packers find a way to slow him down and find a way to pull through. But without Watson, without Alexander, I do lose a little bit of faith. Josh, you just jumped at that microphone. Go ahead.
No, I was just reconnecting here, too. There's plenty of reasons to lose faith, and you can see it across the board. The number keeps moving towards them. The way the Packers ended the season, I can't wrap my mind around about how negative everyone is in Packers land. There is no underdog mentality. There is no, you can go out and do this. Nobody's saying that. It's been a funeral for a week here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Oh, it hasn't been a funeral.
It's been a funeral.
It hasn't been that negative. I think it's just...
You listen to Jen Game and Chewy?
I haven't, actually. I've been sleeping in this week.
Let me tell you.
Good choice?
It. Yeah. They've been bringing me down.
Well, Gabe has the tendency to do that to people.
All of them.
Who else
All
did
three
it?
Of them.
Jen and Chewy
yes.
as well? What'd they say? Tell me. Fill me in.
I mean, they've basically... It's as if this game is 10.5 points in favor of the Eagles, and they limped in with, like, a 9-8 record.
Yeah. They didn't.
I mean, sure didn't.
This was a team that's been had the playoffs locked up since the day before Christmas Eve.
And everyone's doing the thing, and it's been driving me absolutely insane.
Tell me about the thing.
Without a finger on the Carl Brooks' finger, they'd be 0-6 in the division. And if these close games didn't go this way, well, guess what? Switch two other games the other way, and the Packers are the 2 seed.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Like, things could just have gone the other way as they did. Like, there's no reason to say, well, more bad things could have happened. Better things could have happened, too. There's a lot of close games in there.
Yeah, there is. And
like,
they were competitive, right?
One win against the Vikings would have just changed everybody's opinion on this team?
I think it
just proof of concept?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I worry that, you know, as they've struggled with good opponents, that trickles into the postseason. We've talked all year long, and I know it doesn't fully matter, right? Because what matters now is winning on Sunday.
Yes.
But what we've talked about all year is the signature win. What is the Packers' signature win? They don't have one, right? I mean, I would just say they won 11 games. They don't have a signature win.
Right. But we keep saying that, and they lost to teams better than them, but they have a better record with a harder schedule than they played last year. So it's like, there is something.
They're a better team than right? they were a year ago. I would agree with that. But I also would argue the Eagles are probably as good, if not better, than any team in the NFC playoffs from last year. They're San Francisco good. And that was the team you ultimately lost to.
I don't think they're that good.
I do.
I think if they were, they would be the 1 seed. That would be the main difference.
You get an eye roll out of me for that. I mean, the Lions are that good too.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions are, the people have applied the Lions to the Eagles because everybody's worried about the injuries. Like, they're the same belief system that you would have about.
So am I overestimating the Eagles?
I think you are. I think they're a very good team. Ooh. But I don't think, it is as if they are some unstoppable juggernaut. And they gave up 36 points and lost by 14, with a 14-point lead to the Commies. Like,
yeah.
They're not infallible.
No, they are not. No, they're not. All right, we are running way late, so we got to get to what we learned. You learn something new every day. I learned something new this week. It is a group what we learned, because this is one of the most bonkers banana stories I've ever seen in my entire life. Josh, he's giving me the eye because he knows exactly where I'm going with this. I present to you two individuals that were arrested on Christmas Eve in Waukesha, Desmond Cleveland and Karen Hill. Karen Hill, 67 years old. Desmond Cleveland, 29 years old. They are a couple that was caught allegedly having relations in a laundromat on Christmas Eve. Now, the thing here is,
she looks
these
so
two individuals
proud of herself.
From Waukesha, she looks so happy in that mugshot if you're watching on the video side. I mean, she just looks thrilled with the fact that she was caught. Now, here's the thing. This is not the first time these two individuals were caught having relations in public. This is the second time in 2024. So they were arrested Christmas Eve for this happening. Cleveland has been sentenced to 60 days in the Milwaukee County Jail. Speaking of the Milwaukee County Jail, these two individuals, Hunter, Joshy, were caught back in May of last year having relations in the lobby of the Milwaukee County Jail. This is the second time they've been caught. First time in the lobby of the jail, second time in a laundromat on Christmas Eve. What you learned is people have no shame.
You know, this type of thing could happen to any of us.
That's what I'm saying, right? You know, sometimes you just can't wait. Sometimes you just can't wait. And for Karen and Desmond, they just can't wait.
Well, So Mussolini was reading the story, and I didn't get a follow-up on it. In the lobby of the Milwaukee County Jail, was one of them being picked up and they decided to do the deed right there? Because, like, it's not like a doctor's waiting room.
Yeah, I don't know the details there.
Because that one is almost more understandable. It's been a long time. You've been in the old clink. We got to do it right now. I would suggest going to the car in the parking garage, probably.
Yeah, a little bit more private. Yeah, a little bit more privacy there.
People are nasty.
I mean, what do you say? If you saw somebody in the laundromat getting it on right there, say on one of the tables that they have there for folding, are you calling the cops?
Yeah, I was going to ask, well, how do you react in that scenario?
Right? I just walk out.
I think I'm just leaving. And I'm just going to go, okay, I'll come back later.
And now it's totally different if you have, like, your kids there with you, then it's probably like, all right, guys, this is completely inappropriate.
Yeah, then I'm probably calling 911.
Yeah. Right. But if it's just me and I go in there to switch over a couple, I don't want to use this word, switch over a couple articles of clothing from the washer to the dryer, I'd probably do it and then just leave.
That was a Joshy masterclass. Well done. Yeah, I'm probably just walking out.
Yeah.
But obviously, if there's kids there or you know, if you're there with, I don't know. I don't know how I would react. I don't even know if I'd say anything. I'm probably just turning a blind eye and leaving.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I think I'm dropping.
Okay, good for you guys.
I'm dropping like a loud, like,
the spark alive.
Yeah, I'm dropping like a loud, like, really? And then I'm walking out. Like, make it known someone saw
sounds
them.
Sounds like Hunter. Passive aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I need to make sure that they really understand, like, what are we doing? Like, someone saw us. They're disappointed. Like, you're disgusting people. But then I'm walking out.
Have you guys ever been to a laundromat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the cleanliest of place.
No.
That nor the jail. Not places where I would feel good about having my pants around my ankles.
Maybe that's a part of the excitement for them. You don't know. We don't kink shame on this show.
Yeah. Could be.
We're actively kink shaming.
No. You are.
Exhibitionism is a kink.
Exhibitionism. Yeah. Fair. Okay, well, that does it for us today. We will talk to you Monday beginning at noon, special time on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and after the fact available wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. We are with you from 12 to 2 Monday on the radio, on YouTube, on the podcast feed, following Packers, Eagles, reacting with you. We will take phone calls. We will take text messages. As always, we will take your YouTube comments. We'll have a couple of guests join us throughout on Monday. And don't forget, Green Bay Game Day coming up Sunday beginning at noon on those stations as well as 620 WTMJ. Enjoy the football weekend. Ohio State and Texas tonight. Winner will play Notre Dame in the college football playoff championship game in a week or just over a week. And then onward from there, baby. Can't wait. Enjoy it. It's Packers Eagles Sunday at 3:30. It's been Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe. Thanks to Steve Scafidi. We'll talk to you Monday. Peace.